Welcome back. So, there was a great effort to present the social sciences as synonymous in nature with the physical sciences. And so that's a point that I tried to make very clear talking about the Reese Committee hearings and what was uncovered by the Reese Committee. The discussion was raised several times that this effort that was being made by the foundations included an effort to legitimize or give legitimacy to the social sciences, the same sort of legitimacy that was given to the physical sciences. And one of the biggest progenitors of these efforts was the Fabian Society and the Fabian Socialist influence that I was noting as we came through this discussion. And the Reese Committee hearings, again, are sort of, I think, vital and essential. No wonder they've been occluded from our history, but from the from the Wikipedia entry on the United States House Select Committee to Investigate Tax-Exempt Foundations and Comparable Organizations, under the section, the Reese Committee redirects there. Under the section titled Criticisms, you read these words. According to the minority report, the majority of the committee staff were guilty of, quote, an evil disregard of fundamental American guarantees, end quote. Anti-foundation witnesses were heard in full and their testimony published, but the hearings were concluded as soon as pro-foundation witnesses began to present their case. I wonder why that is. Reese said the foundations would be permitted to file statements and thereby get, quote, a fair opportunity to put their best foot forward at the same time that they escaped the embarrassment of cross-examination, end quote. The committee staff, however, apparently deliberately ignored, quote unquote, the statements in preparing the report. Judging by a pro-foundation witness allowed to testify, Dr. Pendleton Herring, Social Science Research Council president, whose testimony was cut off midway, public testimony was far from embarrassing and was the one certain way that those accused by the staff could destroy the deadly inferences, innuendos, and charges. By contrast, the committee gave 3 days to the testimony of San Francisco attorney Aaron M. Sargent, whose political and economic thinking could be judged by his charge that the U.S., quote, income tax was part of a plot by Fabian socialists operating from England to pave the way for socialism in this country. And I just read about the continuation of that influence, the article, the Guardian article, among others, you know, Blair Court's controversial U.S. pastor Rick Warren and bid to unite faiths. It's okay, America, you can. Romans 13 tells you, you know, just go to sleep, go to sleep. New York attorney Renee Wormser, who headed the staff, had proposed that, quote, the inquiry be made without public hearings or the testimony of interested persons, and instead that the staff devote its time to independent study and inquiry. Anyway, and, you know, as has been noted on this broadcast, Renee Wormser went on to write Foundations, Their Power and Influence, which was a sort of continuation of the Reese Committee findings, searching analysis of some of America's most powerful tax-exempt foundations, their actions as opposed to their stated purposes, the interlocking groups of men who run them, and their influence on the country at large. And again, so the point is, this collectivist thinking lends itself very handsomely to the religious views many of these people hold or at least endorse and condone by their financial support. You know, the Rockefeller family involved in supporting the Lucius Trust organization, for example. Anyway, continuing from Gary Kaw's Demonic Roots of Globalism, Chapter 2, Presenting the Occult as Science. Again, when I think of that title, I think of the Reese Committee hearings. And social sciences being the attempt made to present the social sciences as equal in legitimacy and credibility with the physical sciences. So, let's see. No, that's not going to work. Thought I might look for a quick example on that. I mentioned a few the other day, so maybe not. But well, let's see. Well, I'll come back to that. Anyway. Yeah, that's the short version. It's not all of it. So, from Gary Kaw's Chapter 2, Preparing the Occult as Science, or Presenting the Occult as Science, and Jung, just sort of skipping around a little bit, in spite of all the New Age talk about helping humanity. And this is a controversial passage because, you know, wolves in sheep's clothing, speaking of the Fabian Society, are notorious for adopting a Frank Kitson counter-gang strategy to take advantage of people in Machiavellian fashion. Hopefully that makes sense. Anyway, in spite of all the New Age talk about helping humanity and creating a better world, Gary Kaw writes, it is the followers of Jesus Christ composing the Christian Church and its many ministries that have done more to alleviate human suffering than any other people in the world. Again, though, this is a subject that is fraught with intrigue and deception, so that's a controversial statement. I realize. Jesus spent his days involved with people, and he ministered to their needs to the point of personal exhaustion. And even though he was the one man who was truly divine, during his long nighttime vigils, he prayed to his Father in heaven, not to his higher self or to the God within. Jung himself said that he experienced an initiation into the realm of darkness. In the Gospel of John, we are told of Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. John 1, 4 and 5 and 3:19. It's worth noting that there are at least 12 references to Carl Jung and his concepts in Neville Drury's Dictionary of Mysticism and the Occult. On page 137 of that dictionary, Drury states, in his later years, Jung became absorbed with ancient cosmologies and spent a considerable time analyzing Gnostic, alchemical, and mystical systems of thought. He provided commentary for Richard Wilhelm's translations of the I Ching. And so what's important is, it's difficult, if not impossible, and I would argue impossible, to separate the work in the social sciences and psychological fields with his religious beliefs. I would argue, in effect, they are the same. Next section, Jung's personal theology. For a period of about 6 years, Jung worked closely with Sigmund Freud. Although Freud is better known among the general public, it is Carl Jung who has had the most influence on intellectuals leaning toward mystical New Age concepts. And again, how does this happen in university? I ask rhetorically. And I think of Thomas McNeice's words. It could not have happened unless education was prepared in advance to endorse it. His ideas and teachings on the collective unconscious, the archetypes and their symbolism, paved a broad path to lead people away from the beauty and simplicity of God's created order. The Jungian concept of the collective unconscious holds that each individual is an island, joined together by a sort of underwater continent of unconscious thought. Picture a hand with the tips of the fingers above the water. So, you know, ironic that you get into the concept of the esoteric unseen hand, and guess what? Joke's on you. Picture a hand with the tips of the fingers above the water, conversing and interacting with each other, yet under the surface of the water, they are really connected to the palm of the hand and thus to each other. Each person, Jung believed, has those personal forgotten thoughts and experiences, but there is a collective unconscious mind of the entire race. Jung sometimes referred to the collective unconscious as the, quote, psychic residue of human evolutionary development. And again, this goes right back to the subject of atavism, epigenetics, and so forth. For Jung, the archetypes lie within the collective unconscious. An archetype, according to Jung, is a universal thought form or predisposition to perceive the world in certain ways. These archetypes appear to us in personified or symbolized pictorial form through dreams, myths, art, and ritual. He believed that they represented the total latent potentiality of the psyche. So when we get in touch with them, we go beyond developing our individual potentialities and become incorporated in the eternal cosmic process. Some of Jung's archetypes are birth, death, magic, the hero, God, the demon, and the earth mother. In the process of Jung's psychology, God is reduced to an archetype, a type of universal myth. This is explained in a popular college textbook on psychology called Personality Theories and Introduction. Quote, whether or not God exists is not a question that Jung tried to answer. That which has no effect on us might as well not exist. Analytical psychology posits the existence of the archetypal God image, not God. Insofar as the archetype of God has a demonstrably clear effect on us, God is a psychic fact and a useful concept in our psychology. Even more, attuning oneself to one's unconscious forces is a religious experience entailing acceptance of God. To be sure, the God that is accepted may not be the traditional deity of theism. Rather, it is an indwelling God, a natural spirit within the universe psyche of man. Is it any wonder, Carr writes, that so many of our sons and daughters who go off to the college campus find their faith challenged and often shattered by this pseudo-academic atmosphere, when in reality, modern psychology presented as a science is a bankrupt religion with no real capacity for helping people? Under the guise of psychology, spiritual/occultic concepts have gained acceptance as being legitimate scientific principles. And again, this is exactly one of the sort of central premises that was advanced by the Rees Committee. And I think that the rest of what came out of that was used to create a limited liability or a modified limited hangout, essentially. Continuing, hence occultism is increasingly going forth in the name of psychology and the human sciences, quote unquote. This textbook goes on to say, quote, Young's ideas have appealed to those who are discontent with Western society. And again, you read Pike's letter to Mazzini and some of the other things that Pike wrote, but especially that letter, and it seems to tie in. People being led astray intentionally with a very specific purpose in mind. Young's ideas have appealed to those who are discontent with Western society and its modes of exploration, and who seek to expand their self-understanding by studying Eastern thought with its emphasis on introspection and experience. His concept of God is revealed, his concept of God is revealing himself through the collective unconscious is particularly attractive to theologians who seek a more relevant articulation of traditional theistic concepts. Jung's thinking complements the recent interest in the East. And again, this is a pervasive influence that runs much deeper, but overlaps the Fabian discussion and so on. Carl Jung also believed that dreams were of great influence and based much of his teaching on this interpretation of his own dreams. Today, Jungian analysts train their students to keep dream journals and seek guidance for their lives from those dreams. God can certainly speak through dreams, as he did when he told Joseph to make Mary his wife. However, to believe that every dream is a form of guidance for one's life is to stand on shaky ground indeed. That's where some people would argue voodoo theology, I would say. Listen to the words of the prophet Jeremiah concerning false prophets and the relating of dreams. I have heard what the prophet said, that prophecy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies, and by their lightness, yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 23:25, 28, and 32. Gary Kaw continues, a friend of mine once sat in a sanctuary of a local Christian church that displays a beautiful banner which says, Worthy is the Lamb, and yet simultaneously heard the occult glorified, ESP explained in a favorable light, and demon possession passed off as only another form of guidance in reference to someone's mind being taken over by an alien being. All of this was done by a specialist in Jungian psychology who was flown in from across the country for a special weekend seminar with the full approval of the pastor. Was Carl Jung a false prophet, and are his followers being led astray into New Age thinking by following his teachings? I rest my case with the words of Jeremiah. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Jeremiah 23:11, 21, and 22. We'll be right back.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-888- 877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. So right from the outset of the hearings, the Reese Committee made clear what they would be presenting. So from the proceedings, from the hearings, these words: "We shall chiefly confine our attention to the work of foundations in what are called the social sciences. Little criticism has come to us concerning research or other foundation activities in the physical or exact sciences, such as medicine and physics. We shall, of course, consider breaches of law and abuses of what may be desirable conduct wherever we find them. We deem our function to be essentially and primarily fact-finding." So, it's this idea of the social sciences, you know, confining our attention to the work of foundations in what are called social sciences, and presenting that as equal with the physical or exact sciences in credibility and legitimacy. And it's more of a pseudoscience. In the realm of the social sciences, many foundations have not observed the highest standards of scholarship and ethics, which require the presentation of only factual and unslanted material. In fact, the want of ethics and the misrepresentations of some of the foundations are so low that a business corporation doing the same thing would be condemned by the Federal Trade Commission and held guilty of false advertising. And, you know, they mention a leftward-leaning slant, the encyclopedia. Okay, so backing up, a few examples of foundation-financed unscholarly projects which are, in fact, pro-communist and pro-socialist propaganda are the following. The Encyclopedia of Social Sciences is slanted toward the left, financed by tax-exempt funds, considered a sort of Supreme Court of the social sciences. It is the final authority to which appeal is made regarding any question in the field of social sciences. Encyclopedia has influenced the thinking of millions of students and other persons who have consulted it since the appearance of its consecutive volumes during 1930 to 1935. Anyway, and they mention Rockefeller, Carnegie, and Russell Sage Foundations initially subsidized the encyclopedia. Although the preface of the encyclopedia says that it endeavored to include all important topics in the social sciences, it does not contain an article on the American Revolution, while it has articles on the French Revolution and the Russian Revolution. Isn't that interesting? So, and there's more, you know. The record of Robert Maynard Hutchins, the key man in the Ford Foundation, is Robert M. Hutchins, formerly Chancellor of the University of Chicago, Rockefeller University of Chicago. His formal position with the Ford Foundation is that of Associate Director, but in effect, he's been running the foundation. While Hoffman was the president, Hutchins' prominent position was made possible by the fact that Hoffman considers Hutchins as the greatest living educator and literally worships him. With the resignation of Hoffman as president of the foundation, H. Rowan Gaither, San Francisco attorney, Horace Rowan Gaither Jr., remember him and what he intimated to Norman Dodd, became president of the foundation. Gaither family, yeah. Anyway, but Gaither is a mere figurehead and Hutchins is still running the foundation. Gaither has accepted the presidency only for a year and thus Hutchins may yet become the formal head of the organization, but even without such a formal presidency, in view of the facts stated above, Hutchins is, in effect, runs the Ford Foundation. In his capacity as the policymaker of the Ford Foundation, Hutchins possesses a completely unprecedented financial power over education, the humanities, and the social sciences. By giving or withholding grants, Hutchins is in position to insinuate his views into any aspect of American intellectual life. Therefore, it is essential to inquire Hutchins about Hutchins' views and his record concerning the communist menace. So, this is, you know, hopefully the connection here is clear. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product! It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-927-5673. 928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Folks, this is very important information. What's to be said about CBD? AncientLifeOil.com. Our CBD is made from hemp and has 0.003 THC, which means this wonderful product won't get you high, no matter what amount you take. What does CBD do for the body? My hands are tied, but you can Google CBD benefits and be astounded. When you're finished reading, you'll want to log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. And purchase. Life is good when you feel good. People are tired of pain. People are asking for non-GMO organic products to help them with, you fill in the blank. Legal in 49 states, and again, our CBD is made from hemp. Ancient Life Oil is about helping people, one by one by one. If you wonder how good the product is, the CEO takes it every day without miss. AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Have a great day.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Thursday, November 7th, 2019. It's already Thursday. Good grief. The Reese Committee. There's also the religious component, because obviously nonprofit, tax-exempt organizations include a religious component, and so there is that element as well, and there is a bleeding together of subject matter in many cases, and the foundation's pervasive influence in their grant-making powers. A little bit of that I pointed out. Freud was mentioned a little bit. Very little, though, in the Reese Committee hearings. Jung was not, to my recollection, mentioned at all. But they tried to stick to the facts as much as possible while presenting, you know, the concerns that should naturally arise. Anyway, continuing, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, in studying the writings of a wide variety, this is continuing from Gary Kaw's The Demonic Roots of Globalism, Chapter 2, presenting the occult as science, which the point that I'm making here is essentially that's what, that was one of the key underlying components of what came to light in the Rees Committee investigation and hearings, presenting the occult as science. In studying the writings of a wide, because there, maybe it's a degree of separation, people would argue, but there is, when, you know, in critical examination, I think it's pretty easy to argue that the social sciences and pseudosciences that were supported or endorsed by the foundation's grant-making powers, were those interests were commingled with the occult. So in one way or another, and again, Carl Jung is one of those crossover figures. So Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, in studying the writings of a wide variety of New Age political and spiritual leaders, one name is praised over and over again, and this is another key bridge figure. That name is Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. In his concepts and teachings, run like a continuous thread through an intricate tapestry of today's New Age spiritual beliefs. Everywhere I turn, Kaw writes, I see the imprint of his thinking on the minds of individuals who have rejected the God of the Bible for a little g God, who is nothing more than the energy that flows through the sum of all creation. The circle of Chardin's influence continues to widen even after his death, for not only did he write a number of widely read volumes, but many of his disciples have their works on the bestseller lists. An Obsession with Evolution, that's a section. I'll skip through some of this. Kaw talks about evolution and geology. This concept became a passion of Teilhard's life, and every other pursuit, especially Christianity, was forced to conform and subjugate itself to this supreme belief, evolution essentially. Social Darwinism. He became a Jesuit priest, but instead of shepherding a parish or following some other religious work, he always pursued his first love, which was the blending of the physical and spiritual worlds under the banner of evolution. Teilhard was a pantheist despite his protests to the contrary. A pantheist is one who sees the universe as the one and only reality and calls this God. Skipping ahead, according to Teilhard's concept of evolution, at one time, God was not highly evolved enough to express himself through human consciousness. This was during the prehistoric period, when God could only express himself through animals. So in other words, evolution is simply man and God, parenthetically, becoming conscious of himself. Skipping ahead again, and I'm getting to the political crossover, and that's a point that Gary Kaw makes in this chapter. Teilhard de Chardin's theology diverged so far from biblical teachings that in 1957 the Catholic Holy Office decreed that his works must be withdrawn from libraries, seminaries, and religious institutions. In 1962, the office issued a further warning to bishops, rectors of seminaries, and presidents of universities to protect the minds of the faithful against the heresies of Chardin's teachings. However, this did not put an end to the influence of the French priest, paleontologist, philosopher. Today, He is praised in progressive Catholic circles as a great religious thinker and a scientific genius. His influence goes far beyond Catholic circles. And again, how does this happen? How do these kinds of things happen? And, how many people have read the late, great Jack Otto's World War III, for example, or, Philip Marshall's The Big Bamboozle? It's because, freedom of the press is guaranteed to those who own one, and you can write history effectively through the publishing house. That makes sense. So this is how, again, getting back to the Reese Committee's hearings, this is how the pervasive influence is promulgated and perpetuated, perhaps. His influence goes far beyond Catholic circles, as evidenced by the fact that he is the most widely read author in the New Age movement. In my local New Age occult bookstore, Carr writes, there is a display of bookmarks near the cash register with about 10 famous, in their estimation, people pictured on them. Chardin is one of them. In the Aquarian Conspiracy, arguably the most important and comprehensive modern work on the New Age movement by a New Ager, there are at least 16 different references to Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. A political influence, and here's where we get to the crossover. Former Democratic Governor of New York Mario Cuomo, who finished first in his class in law school, reads Teilhard de Chardin's work and gives copies of his books as gifts to interested friends. Cuomo was at one time considered to be a leading contender for the U.S. presidency. Trilateralist Zbigniew Brzezinski appears to be another follower of Chardin. On page 73 of his book, Between Two Ages, he quotes Chardin as saying, quote, monstrous as it is not modern totalitarianism really the distortion of something magnificent and thus quite near to the truth, end quote. Robert Mueller, the lawyer economist, began his work at the United Nations in 1948 and was Assistant Secretary General until 1984. It was through his associations in that institution that he, too, became a follower of Chardin. In his book, New Genesis, Shaping a Global Spirituality, he tells of his spiritual growth in a chapter entitled My Five Teilhardian Enlightenments. It was originally Yu Thant, a Buddhist and former UN Secretary General, who kept telling Mueller about Chardin's philosophy. On page 160, he states, quote, now, after a third of a century of service within the UN, or with the UN, I can say unequivocally that much of what I have observed in the world bears out the all-encompassing global forward-looking philosophy of Teilhard de Chardin, end quote. He claims that Teilhard viewed the UN as the institutional embodiment of his vision, and Mueller himself believes that the human species is entering a new period of evolution, period of planetary consciousness and global living, the birth of a collective brain. Does that sound technocratically familiar? The singularity, the Kurzweils of the world. Robert Mueller, it is worth mentioning, has very close ties to Lucius Trust as well. More on this later. In his book, he states, quote, was it not inevitable that the UN would sooner or later acquire a spiritual dimension? Again, this from one of the key figures at the United Nations in its early years. Was it not inevitable that the UN would sooner or later acquire a spiritual dimension? In fact, it always had that spiritual dimension. It was just revealed over time. I've come to believe firmly today that our future peace, justice, fulfillment, happiness, and harmony on this planet will not depend on world government, but on divine or cosmic government, meaning that we must seek and apply the natural, evolutionary, divine, universal, or cosmic laws which must rule our journey in the cosmos. Most of these laws can be found in the great religions and prophecies, and they are being rediscovered slowly but surely in the world organizations. Any Teilhardian will recognize in this the spiritual transcendence, which he announced so emphatically as the next step in our evolution. In every chapter of New Genesis, Mueller calls for a one-world government and a one-world religion as the only answer to mankind's problems. He completes his book with a prayer in which he tells humanity, quote, be a cosmic divine being, an integral conscious part of the universe. Be always open to the entire universe. Unquote. In his role as Assistant Secretary General, he was for many years in charge of the operations of 32 specialized agencies and world programs of the United Nations, including the Children's Fund, UNICEF, World Food Program, International Monetary Fund, International Labor Organization, and the UN Educational Scientific, I would call it uneducational, that's what I always think of, UN Educational Scientific and Cultural Organization, or UNESCO. At this time, most of the funding for these various organizations comes from the United States, our tax dollars, and again, the same influence that the Rees Committee was concerned with. That I add parenthetically. Such is the influence of the disciples of Teilhard de Chardin. And so the next section is titled Steeped in Pantheism, but I just think it's interesting to mention as a brief aside. Perhaps you've seen the same thing. A screensaver that I was presented with in a Windows environment yesterday, Wednesday, November 6th, and the caption reads, what does it take to become a UNESCO World Heritage Site like this one? Perhaps you've seen the same screensaver or whatever you call it. I don't think screensaver is the appropriate term these days, but hopefully you know what I mean. Anyway, how does that happen? We're all part of the collective hive mind, right? Working toward this. No, we're not. I'm not. So steeped in pantheism, back to Carl Jung. Carl Jung conceived his ideas of the collective unconscious or race mind, quote unquote, by going within to the underground caverns of his own psyche. Chardin appears to do just the opposite. He looks at people, history, and the world about him and discovers what he calls the noosphere. And by the way, that is a very interesting term in technological, technocratic, and singularity circles and discussions. Noosphere. This was his name for a vast global envelope. And guys like Richard Dawkins, for example, you know, speaking of, you know, bridge figures, Satanist Richard Dawkins. This was his name for a vast global envelope of consciousness and shared thought surrounding the planet. In reality, both ideas are the same. In their view, we are not unique individuals responsible for our own independent thoughts and choices, nor are we accountable to a personal God for those thoughts and choices. Rather, we are all part of a vast living organism, a global brain, that encompasses all of humanity and God as well. This is the essence of pantheistic religion. Do you see how there is this sort of influence in politics, not just in you know, everyday life and society, but it's bleeding into the politics of you know, democratic socialism, for example, because it's sort of a the underlying belief system is synonymous with the collectivist view at some level. Again, the more you chase this out, the more they seem inseparable. Chardin sought to blend Christianity with his ideas of evolution, and that's where, again, you know, the Fabian socialists will tell you that Christian socialism is perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine. Fabian socialism is Christian socialism. It's fine. Chardin sought to blend Christianity with his ideas of evolution, of a sacred earth at all costs, and Christian doctrine suffered greatly in the process, Gary Kaa notes. Anyway, we will be right back. Stick around. More after this break.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party. And the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Final segment of the second hour. You know, if you do a search in your favorite search engine for example, Chardin, Jung, Freud, Fabian, socialism, among other terms, you'll come up with some interesting stuff. NewScientist.com. Why two geniuses delved into the occult. Entries like that, but also the Canada Free Press article by Jim O'Neill back in 2011, Harvard Homosexuals and Far Left Fabians. This is controversial discussion. Was it, it was Dave who last mentioned the Cambridge Five, for example, and, you know, speaking of British intrigue and, you know, it's just interesting. I don't even want to go down that rabbit hole right now, but you have that You have this, you know, which cites Jim O'Neill's article, Fabian Socialist, Keynes was a lifelong sexual deviant. Entries from Gary Kaas, The Demonic Roots of Globalism in the Modern History Project. Carl Gustav Jung, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, Chardin's influence, the new religion, and notes. That's an interesting little abridged entry. Why two geniuses delved into the occult. Amanda Gefter, April 2009. In his latest book, Deciphering the Cosmic Number, historian of science Arthur I. Miller investigates the bizarre friendship between quantum physics pioneer Wolfgang Pauli and famed psychoanalyst Carl Jung. Together, the two great thinkers delved into mysticism, numerology, and alchemy, which, you know, again, you like John in Tennessee mentioned, you know, you think of guys like Michio Kaku, for example, who openly endorsed Kabbalah. Mysticism, numerology, and alchemy in their quest to understand the universe and themselves. But also, you know, Fabian's Wealth and Cultural Engineering in the UK, Dark Secrets of the Progressive part of the UK establishment, and not just there, but here. What could possibly connect together all of the following seemingly disparate subjects? Fabian Socialism, Northern Foods, CIA and its MK Ultra program, the pedophile information exchange, Jim Saville, and the Labor Party. Read the article to find out. But also, we come back to the Frankfurt School, the Frankfurter School. Remember the Prussian model and, you know, compulsory education? Institute for Social Research. Goethe University, Frankfurt. Founded in the Weimar Republic. Critical of capitalism and of Marxism-Leninism, even though it, you know, infects people with that thinking. If we study it long enough, even though we oppose it, we become it, right? Anyway, third hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.